Hi, my name is Richard Azariga. I'm a principal software engineer from Microsoft. And in this video, we're going to look at using search capabilities within the SharePoint add-in model. So the agenda is we're going to look at an overview of search. So part of that is breaking down all the building blocks that search has to really deliver an enhanced experience for end users. We're going to look then at how we might take those building blocks and extend the Search Center experience and maybe do that in an automated way. And then finally, we're going to look at building SharePoint add-ins that leverage search. So we're going to look at these search-based add-ins. So first of all, if we look at kind of the developer vision about how we can deliver better experiences with Office and SharePoint, we really are tailoring on both the user and the data side. We want to be able to extend the experience of users that are inside of SharePoint so that maybe we can add our own add-ins or customize the experience of the add-ins that are there. And we're going to also want to be able to tap into all the great data that SharePoint has inside of a search index. So we're going to be able to go in and leverage that data through a set of APIs so that we can pull search results back into customizations that we might build. So some of the recommendations that we're gonna make here during this session is to try to leverage out-of-the-box capabilities, and you can use those out-of-the-box capabilities easily to extend the experiences inside of SharePoint and specifically with search. We're gonna be able to leverage remote APIs for our customization. So we've extended a number of the search APIs out so that you can deliver completely new experiences inside of SharePoint. Display templates are one of those building blocks of search, and they're extremely powerful to deliver new experiences to users that are leveraging the data that comes out of search. And then we're going to be able to export and import our search settings using CSOM, and we're going to be able to do all that together to deliver a very powerful experience and customized experience with search. So first, let's take a look at an overview of kind of our recommended approach and how we're going to do that in the grand scheme of SharePoint, add-ins, and search. So search is a service application within SharePoint. And so it's like many of the other service applications, like managed metadata and workflow services and BCS, to where ultimately we're going to be able to hook into that through a set of endpoints. So we're going to have REST APIs and CSOM that we can connect into and be able to customize the SharePoint search experience from a third-party add-in. And so we're going to be able to do that in this decoupled way that really follows that the spirit of the add-in model, so that we do it in a safe way that will be easy for upgrades and really still be able to deliver the experience our users want. So again, search is a service application. It's there for locating documents, people, and data within SharePoint. One of the key premises of this is search is one of those applications that can look across everything in SharePoint. You know, a lot of times SharePoint tends to be very container-based, and you have these different silos where data lives, and I have to jump out of one container into another often to find data. Well, search is able to look over all of that data, and so it's a great mechanism for being able to pull data across your entire SharePoint farm into one place. And one of the most common places for doing that is the Search Center. So we're going to look at extending that out-of-the-box Search Center to create unique solutions, customized results, custom displays, and custom functionality that are going to deliver a better user experience for end users. We're also going to look at using the Search APIs to incorporate search functionality into SharePoint add-ins. So if I want to build maybe my own add-in part or a page that has some sort of custom functionality, if I want to reach in and be able to deliver some search capability, I can easily do that with the search APIs, and we'll look at that. So let's take a look at the major search building blocks that kind of come together to deliver a better search experience within SharePoint. So some of the building blocks that we're going to look at are things like managed properties, result sources, query rules, result types, and search navigation. Combined, these are many of the building blocks that we can easily customize out of the box. And when I say customize, I'm really just configuring. I can add new managed properties, new result sources, new query rules that are going to have a dramatic impact on the way search is delivered to an end user. So let's start with managed properties. Managed properties are mapped to any number of crawled properties. Now, one of the big changes in 2013 is we made the search schema something that was not only available at the tenancy level, but we could even modify the search schema at the site collection level. So nowadays, a site collection administrator can actually define their own managed properties within a site collection. And that's a pretty significant change. And we can have the same managed property in multiple site collections mean different things based upon how the mapping is created. So site columns become managed properties. We can go and define different site columns that might be on different lists and libraries within SharePoint, and ultimately those can become a managed property. Now, when those get crawled and created into managed properties, they're going to get an automated naming convention. So this slide lists a few of the different naming conventions that you'll see. So published and multi-line properties are prefixed with OWS underscore R underscore, and then there's this four-letter code, and then whatever the name is. Whereas managed metadata are going to be prefixed with OWS tax ID, and then all the other ones are OWS underscore Q underscore a four-letter code. So this is just a little bit around the naming convention. So if you are looking for a managed property, maybe you created a site column and you want to go and try to find that, you'll be a little bit easier locating it if you have an idea of what those naming conventions are. This is also very helpful if you're trying to maybe automate some of the things through what we offer with CSOM and the REST APIs. So when you create a managed property, there's a number of different attributes that you can specify on those managed properties that are going to really dictate how you can use that to customize the search experience. So this is a comprehensive listing. When you go to the managed property screen that allows you to customize that managed property, you'll see a number of different options you have. And rather than going and just checking every checkbox down the list, which might have more of a performance impact over time, it would make sense to understand what the different checkboxes do. So first of all, I can mark something as queryable, which would make that managed property able to be used in a property-based search. So that would be like me wanting to say first name equals this. So first name would be my managed property. And if I want to do those very specific property-based searches, I would want to mark my managed property as queryable. Refinable is if I want that managed property to be something that I could display in a search refiner in my maybe my search center or search result. Retrievable will specify whether or not I can pull that back in a search result. So just because a managed property is there, again, there's different ways I could use it. I might want to query by it, or I might want it to be something that comes back so I can display it in my display template, my visual in some sort of way. Searchable is whether we want that managed property to be something just in the search index. So rather than doing a property-based search, just any sort of keyword-based search might be able to find different items that are marked with that. Sortable is a property, an attribute on the managed property that's going to allow me to sort my search results by that. So a good example of some managed properties that already have sortable turned on are things like maybe a modified date. That's a really good example of one that if I want to, or create a date, if I want to look at something that's new, I might use that sortable attribute of that managed property. The type is the data type of the managed property. So you could imagine there's different types of data. A date might be one type of thing versus just regular text. And so a type's important thing. Safe is an attribute that allows me to mark a managed property as being safe to be returned to anonymous users. Alias is a friendly name. If I want to give something more of a friendly name so that I can reference it in different places rather than maybe one of those more cryptic names that I get by default, I can give it an alias. And then finally, there's a checkbox that allows me to specify if it's multi-valued. So you can imagine, think of like a lookup column in SharePoint. A lookup column could be a single select or multi-select, or maybe a taxonomy field. And so if it needs to be multi-value, there's an attribute here to specify that on the managed properties. The second building block of search that we're going to consider is a result source. So a result source is my way of scoping down search to a very specific set of results. Now, I can select a number of different sources to start with when I go and create one of these result sources. So I can start with my local SharePoint index. I can look at a remote SharePoint index. I can use any sort of search that uses an open search protocol. And then I can leverage things like Exchange. This is one of the powerful things that is enabling us to do some of the powerful e-discovery things in SharePoint is that Exchange as a result source. Now, I can then apply some sort of query transformation on that. So imagine all of the content in SharePoint. Maybe I want to create a very scoped down search just for presentations. So in that case, what I might do is start with local SharePoint index, and then I might perform an additional query that says, you know, it needs to maybe have a file extension of PPT or PPTX, or maybe it's from a specific site or a specific list within a site. So I can be very specific in creating these result sources. So instead of always starting with the entire search index, these result sources allow me to start scoping things down to something more manageable. Query rules are a way for me to affect the results that come back to a user. These are applied to a given result source, and they're processed under specified conditions. So I specify various conditions that the rules apply to, and then I can affect the search results if one of those conditions is met. So there's a number of different ways we can leverage these. We can completely change search results. We can generate a result block. So a query rule is how we do things like, in the past, we had things in search like best bets that I had. Now I can use a query rule if I want to bump something up or completely modify the relevancy of something. So a good example of a query rule, I mentioned in the previous example of result sources, is I might want to create a result source for presentations. If someone went to all of SharePoint, the entire SharePoint index, and said, I'm looking for a sales presentation or a sales deck, the term presentation or deck being in my search query, that might be a condition that I look for. So I could create a condition, a query rule that says, if someone puts deck or presentation in their search query, what I want to do is maybe I'll give them results from all of SharePoint, but at the top, I'm going to put a block of things from a different result source, that presentations result source. So that is a perfect example. And ironically, the example I'm giving you is actually built in the box in SharePoint. If you go search for things like a presentation or a deck, if you use that keyword, SharePoint is intelligent enough to know that you're looking probably for a PowerPoint presentation. And so it's going to bump up those naturally. But you can do that with almost anything. Any sort of keyword, you can write a condition, and then you can modify the search results using those query rules. Now, a result type is the way that I can make different items in a search result look differently. So what this is, it allows me to take a result source and match it up with a specific look and feel. And the way I do that is matching it up with a template. So in this case, I select the result source that I'm interested in, maybe it's presentations, I can maybe add some additional conditions to this if I want it to match various additional conditions. But then I can ultimately say, here's the template that I want it to use. And so I can, and when something comes back in my search results that matches that result source and that condition, that's the display template. That's the way that that search result will look. So these result types are the way when I go and do a search in SharePoint, PowerPoint decks look one way, videos look another, sites look a completely different way. And that's through these result types that we have inside of the SharePoint search configuration. Finally, we have display templates. And display templates are incredibly powerful. These are how I can make something, this is the actual user interface that I build around a result that comes back in search. And so I can build these knowing that it's going to display a specific type of data. So if I were building a display template for a video, I could build a video player right there. Or if I wanted to build a display template for, you know, something else, maybe a location, one of our business locations, I might make it display a map. And so the way display templates are built, they're built with HTML and JavaScript. And they're a little bit cryptic. You can see here that there are some delimiters that I use. I use a little underscore pound equals to be able to reference in my display template some sort of JavaScript. So I mix together JavaScript and HTML to build these display templates. The great thing is I can build these display templates in really any sort of HTML editor. There's nothing that is in these that's going to make an HTML editor not like it. It's not like some of the other things that we've had in like building old master pages or things like that. It is going to be friendly in an HTML editor. And it's going to allow me to make very powerful displays for my different result sources that comes back. So in this example, you can see up above, I have some HTML that I've written. And again, I'm using those delimiters, the little underscore pound equals, to reference JavaScript that I also have in this file, in this HTML file. So down below, you can see I'm referencing get due date style and get due date or get formatted date for various things within this HTML. Now, the interesting thing about display templates that we'll look at maybe a little bit later is that when I upload these into SharePoint, SharePoint generates the entire file into JavaScript. So it'll actually convert all the HTML and JavaScript. And the reason that's important, it's almost like a model view pattern, is when you actually go and perform a search in SharePoint, SharePoint actually just spits out the search results as a block of JSON data at the bottom of the page. So you can try this. Go do a search on a SharePoint page, view source, and you'll actually see at the bottom your search results as JSON. Now, the display templates also get injected into the page, and it goes and looks at those results, and it ultimately will run the script to put that JSON data in this display format. So it really is like a template. If you've ever done anything with like Angular or any of the client-side templating like model view patterns, it is very similar to that. And so again, build it all in HTML, and then this is how you might make a specific type of result look a specific way. The last component that we're gonna look at in search building blocks is search navigation. So this is really specific to the search center. All the other different components we talked about, I can use in any sort of SharePoint site. But when I talk about search navigation, this is a little bit specific to the search center. So what this allows me to do is specify a specific page to display search results. And I can have that display in a navigation. Now that page, I can configure it to use different result sources and different display templates. And so each one of these can look at a very specific way. So in the past, we called things like this scopes. And I would say in a lot of ways, these still do the same thing as a scope. It's scoping down your search to very specific things, but it's using our new building blocks. So these are really just different search result pages. I can just look at different pages. Now behind the scenes, the page is tied to a specific result source. So these are the building blocks. One of the cool things is that we provide the ability to both export and import these search settings. So inside of SharePoint, we actually give you the ability to perform an export. So you can actually go get a search configuration file, an XML file. And this is gonna basically bring all of your rules, your result sources, and your managed properties with you. Unfortunately, there's some things it doesn't handle. So it's not gonna handle things like master pages, your display templates, and any sort of web part changes you make on your pages. So if you are creating all these different result pages, remember that the search navigation is basically just driving different pages, and those are, you know, have web parts configured on them, that's not gonna come across in the search configuration. But the great thing is, we'll show you how you can still handle that. So when we go to import things, I can import that search configuration into a site collection, or I can actually go into the search configuration at the tenancy level, and I can import that search configuration to apply to an entire tenancy. For the things that don't come over in that search export import, so things like those pages that you have, your any sort of display templates and any sort of web parts that you're configuring in your pages, we can still add that programmatically. So when we go and we programmatically import things, we can add all those additional items in, and that can all be done in a SharePoint add-in. So let's take a look at how we can automate some of this, this export and import of search settings in a demo. All right, so the first demo we're gonna look at from a search extensibility standpoint is a sample out on PNP to be able to export and import search settings. So you can see the direct URL to this project in the repo here on the slide. If I go out there, you can see we have the markdown that kind of describes the sample. Ultimately, this is gonna go and perform a full export of a search configuration and be able to also import it later. So if I were to go and look for this out where I have my PNP clone, I can go into samples, and then it is under core search settings portability. So I'll go ahead and open this up in Visual Studio. This is basically a console application. So we've really simplified it to really concentrate on those two primary operations. So here's that the program.cs file that has basically all the code in here. And you can see the very first thing we're gonna do is give the user an option to select between an import or an export. And then based upon that, we're gonna provide some additional parameters so that we can actually complete that operation. So if I minimize this main, we can see we have those two operations. We have the export search settings and we have the import search settings. And so ultimately what this is gonna do is go through and create a search configuration portability class. It's going to configure the context around that and then ultimately go and perform an export or inversely perform an import. So let's go ahead and run this. I'll put a breakpoint here and we'll go ahead and click start. And you can see here it's providing the interface that says, you know, which one of these operations do you want? I'll go ahead and zoom in here and I'll maybe select two. We want to do an export here. Then it's going to ask the path. Now we need to provide an absolute path to this export, and that includes the file name. Now for this export, there's no file that exists, so you can just name it whatever you want. We'll go ahead and say C exports, and then we'll call this searchconfig.xml. It's going to be an XML file. And we'll see how we can kind of maybe pull this into other projects later. The next thing is it wants the URL to our site. I'm going to go ahead and select maybe the search center within my SharePoint Online tenant. So I'll just do the slash search manage path. And then it's going to want some credentials. And so I'm going to provide someone that is a site collection administrator of that search center. So we'll do that username and that password. And now when I press enter, I'll go ahead and zoom out again. When I press enter, we should go and hit our breakpoint here, and we could walk through this code. So I'll go ahead and step through this. Here's where we're actually going to say that we want to do the export. We'll go ahead and say execute. And now this is going to go crank away at that export, and I'll go ahead and let it finish. And what we'll see is it says it's complete. We've actually completed the export, and so I can go ahead and exit out of here. So if we were to go out to that location, so I said C export, so I'll go ahead and go under C exports. I have some other things in here, but there's our file that we exported. You can see that searchconfig.xml. And if we open that up, there's a lot going on here, but if we were to make this, put it in a clean XML viewer, we would see that ultimately this has all the configuration that we can get in a search export. And now I could use the tool again if I wanted to. I could run it again and maybe import it into a different site. So this is kind of the first sample that shows you how, through some of the PNP samples we have, you can export and import a search configuration. All right, well, that last demo was exporting and importing search settings. Now let's take a look at calling search using CSOM. All right, the second demo we're gonna look at is a sample out on PNP that shows you how to actually perform a search using CSOM from a provider-hosted app. And this is gonna allow us to perform some normal search queries, but it's also going to allow us to actually personalize that based upon the user's profile properties. So this is a commonly asked for scenario where I wanna look at maybe what department or some other information about the user and start, you know, really delivering a personalized experience and personalized results. So here's the link to this actual sample. Again, this is under samples and then it's /search.personalized results. So if I were to find that here in my local copy, we'll go down here under search, personalized results, and we'll go ahead and open this up inside of Visual Studio. Now, unlike the first demo that we did, first demo was a console application, and this one is a little bit different. It's actually a full provider hosted app. And because it's an actual add-in, we need to actually specify some permissions. And we'll talk about that a little bit later in this module. But if I look in my app manifest, one of the things you'll see under permissions is we're actually specifying a couple of permissions here. One is we want to be able to read user profiles. Now remember I said that this sample is actually going to deliver personalized search results based upon information in those profiles. So we need to be able to read it. The second thing is we need to be able to search. So you can see I have a permission here to actually perform a search from this provider-hosted app. All right, the next thing is this is basically just a single page application. So if I go under default, my code behind here, you can see that other than doing simple things like loading the Chrome control in the page, we basically have two button click events. One is perform a regular search and one is to perform a personalized search. So in the regular search, I'm simply going to go and perform a search with some sort of text that I provide. And then I want to look for that it has to be a site collection. I only want site collections coming back. So this is a sample of doing site collection based searching. If I want to go search all the sites, it's a pretty commonly asked for scenario. And so I'm simply going and loading the results on the page. The personalized search is going to do things a little bit different. It's going to actually go and pull the user's profile, the current user. So you can see that here, I'm using the people manager, and then I'm loading the personal properties. You can see get my properties. And then I'm looking for a user profile property called about me. And based upon some of the values there, I'm actually going to go and deliver a separate result based upon that. So you can see I have this resolve additional filter, and you can see that I'm doing some additional filtering if that there's a app test in my user profile properties. So the process query is simply just using CSOM. I'm doing a keyword query, which is part of CSOM, and then using a search executor to actually execute that search. So I'll just go out here really quickly. One thing I need to do, like all the samples out on PNP, if you want to run those, is I need to specify the site that I'm going to debug against. So I'm going to go ahead and pick my developer site that I have. And it's going to ask me to go ahead and authenticate that here. So I'll go ahead and provide some credentials. All right. So now that I've authenticated, I can go ahead and run this. Again, it's a provider-hosted app, so this is going to ultimately go and just install this application into my developer site. I'll be able to approve or grant those three permissions, the permission to read profiles, the permission to perform a search, and then it had a read access on the website that it's installed in. After that, it's going to take me out to localhost because I'm just doing this locally, and we'll be able to run those two tests. So here we go. Looks like it's starting this guy up. So we'll go ahead and log in with our account. And here's where you can see it's going to ask us to trust this search application. And if you look, it says that it wants basically full control of listen libraries in that site. So that would be that read-write access. And then I also have the ability to get basic information. We want to be able to perform a search and then read the user's profile. So those, again, it's just displaying those permissions. We'll go ahead and say trust. And this is going to bring us into our provider-hosted app. So here's our provider-hosted app, and you can see I can perform certain search queries. So if I wanted to do a search query for maybe a site that has the name sample in it, I'll go ahead and perform a search. That'll go and finish the search here. And you can see it found one site. So it found one site collection with sample, and you can see it's actually in the name of this. The second one here is, again, if I wanted to go and do a search and actually look at information on the user's profile and be able to tailor that based on their profile, it's going to perform that type of search. So you could see, first of all, if it doesn't contain app test, then it's just going to basically present just all site collections. Otherwise, if it does app test, it will do specific ones. So we'll go ahead and just do it first. I don't have that user profile property set. And so when we do a search, you can see I bring back a bunch of sites. But if we were to really quickly go out and actually modify this, so I'll go out to rzna-my. App test. Save and close. We'll go ahead and perform our search one more time. And there you can see we have different search results coming back. So it changed it based upon that one property that we changed in our user profile. And one important note here is that search items are indexed, so they're not necessarily real time. Even with things like continuous crawl that are going on, it might take, you know, several minutes for something to show up. But I was reading my user profile in real time. So that's why we were able to change it immediately by changing that one setting. So hopefully this shows you, this sample is a great way to show you how to use both CSOM for managed code, but also how we might even personalize that experience based upon profile properties of the user. Okay, let's take a look at now at extending the search center. So we looked at all the different building blocks. Now, how do we put those together in a search center to really drive a customized user experience for users that are leveraging search? So using those building blocks, we can create very customized solutions. So if you're looking at the screenshot here, all of the different components in here are completely customizable. So things from the refiners that we have along the side. We can put our managed properties as a refiner. Even the refiners themselves are different types of display templates. So you can see the modified date here. It shows a little historic like chart that I can use as like a visual for a refiner. You could create your own customized visuals using display templates for refinement. So if you wanted a pie chart or some other maybe color coding thing as refinement, you can easily do that. You could see across the top, I have my different search navigators that are search navigation that tied to different pages. And then within my page, I might have a search result web part that is configured for a very specific search result source. So we had those result sources that allow us to scope things down. In this case, it looks like we're looking at a set of tasks. So I could create a task result source and maybe have a search navigation page specific to that. So the way we can automate the Search Center modifications is by creating an add-in and use the add-in installed event to trigger various modifications. So remember, there's a number of things that we're going to maybe be able to include natively, because it's going to be maybe one of the native types of things that I can add to the SharePoint add-in template. Some things aren't going to be there. And for those, I can use that add-in installed event. So some of the things that we're going to programmatically do are things like activating features. We can upload any sort of display templates, since those aren't included in that search export. And we can also manipulate various web part pages and web part properties on those pages. And so those really cover some of those things that are lacking in the search export. One of the cool things is that a SharePoint add-in can actually include a SharePoint search configuration. And so combined in this add-in, I can combine that search configuration with all these other things that aren't included in the search configuration by programmatically performing some of those things. So let's look at how we can programmatically perform some of these things that aren't automatically included in a search configuration. So one of those might be activating various features. So one of the things that display templates build upon is some of the publishing infrastructure in SharePoint. So that's where I actually, when I go and I create a display template, it actually goes in the master page gallery. And so to expose things like that master page gallery and other things that are part of that publishing infrastructure, I might want to enable the publishing infrastructure features. So this is a block of code just showing you how you might do that. So this is actually taking the publishing infrastructure feature at the site collection level and using CSOM to first of all check that it is actually, if it's already activated. And if it's not activated, it's going to go and activate that on the site. So you at the site collection level. So you can see I'm first performing a query. Hey, do I have this feature activated? And if so, we're fine. If not, I want to go activate it. So you can see down there at the bottom, it's saying features.count. If it's equal to zero, that means it's not activated. I'm going to go add it to the site collection, and then I'm going to execute the query with CSOM. Next is those display templates. So I've built all these great visuals that I'm going to make my search look different ways. This gives you an example of how you might do that programmatically. So the first thing is I mentioned that all these display templates get uploaded into the master page gallery. So the first thing I need to do is go and get a handle on that master page gallery. So you can see on the side, I'm going to the root web list, and then I'm getting a list by title, and it's the master page gallery list that I'm getting. And then finally, the display templates are actually organized in a bunch of subfolders within the master page gallery. So I'm going to go and get a reference to one of those folders that I'm going to actually upload my display templates into. Finally, you can see here I'm simply opening a file stream to a specific location on my hosting environment. So wherever this provider hosted app is, I have that file that's just sitting out there, my display template. I'm ultimately just going and reading that using some of the system.io classes. And then I'm going to go add that to the folder. So you see I'm doing a file creation information class, and then I'm simply creating a new SharePoint file and uploading that with that file creation information. So this is, again, it's taking one of those display templates that we just have sitting out on our provider hosted app server and uploading that into a specific folder in the master page gallery. Finally, this is an example of manipulating various web parts. So there's lots of great examples out on Patterns and Practices that show you how to maybe create entire new pages, web part pages, how we can modify different pages. And this example, we're actually going and getting the limited web part manager for a page. So we're going and looking at a specific page, and we're gonna go and, in this case, get all of the web parts that are on that page. And so we're including things like the web part properties in their titles so that we can, after we get all these web parts, we might go and manipulate those in some sort of way. So this would be just an example of a block of code to go and get the web parts that are on a search result page so that we can customize that during the add-in installed event. Awesome, so let's take a look at a demo on extending the Search Center. All right, so in this demo, we're gonna kind of bring a lot of this together. We're gonna look at things like that search export that we created and how we might be able to re-leverage it and how we might be able to programmatically do some of the other things that don't come along in that export through an add-in. So we're gonna extend the Search Center in one kind of comprehensive add-in. It aggregates all of those concepts together. So you can see the link for this here. This one is actually out on the Office 365 training content repo. And so if I go out there and open this, what we'll see is this is going to be a provider-hosted add-in. And so the key to pick up on that is the fact that it's gonna have two projects in the solution. So you can see those two projects here are loading. And if I zoom in on these, I'll point out a few of the key concepts. So first of all, in my SharePoint add-in project, you can see that one of the key things is I have a search configuration. So just to zoom out here, when you're working in the SharePoint project, and this is gonna have me log in here really quickly. So one of the things of the SharePoint projects is there's only certain things you can add to it. So if I go here and say add new item, you'll see that there's some things you'd expect, like a list, maybe a workflow, site columns, modules. But down at the bottom, there's a search configuration option. So this is basically the export that we created earlier. So, or I could create one from scratch, but I could actually take that search configuration from earlier and actually put it inside of this SharePoint add-in so that when I go and install it, it will go and deploy that search configuration. So that's a pretty cool concept that we have here. And that's exactly what we have in here. So if you go and look, I have this search configuration that's all set up and ready to go. So it'll bring in things like my result types, some managed properties and whatnot. The other thing that we have in here that's pretty key is that search configuration, like we've talked about, it doesn't include everything. And so we need to be able to handle those other things when a user installs our add-in. And the way we're doing that is through the app installed event. And so you can see if I click on the SharePoint project, if I look down at the bottom, here's that handle app installed, and you can see it's set to true. When we use this handle app installed event, it's going to add a service in our remote web project. So here's our web project. And if you look here, I have a services folder that it has this app event receiver. And so this is ultimately a service that's going to get called by SharePoint when we install this add-in. So if we look at this, this basically aggregates all of those things that we have to do programmatically. So I'll kind of make my code a little bit bigger here, easier to see. First of all, we have some constants. So these are things like the publishing feature ID. That never changes. So I can put that in here as a constant. Things like the master page gallery location or the master page gallery title. Some of those things never change, so they're appropriate to put here in a constant. The actual magic occurs here on this process event. Now, this gets called for a number of different reasons by SharePoint. The one we care about are the handle app installed event and actually the uninstalled event too. We want to be able to clean up after ourselves, most likely. So after I get my client context, here's where I'm doing that check. If the event type is app installed, I want to go do all those things that the search configuration doesn't include. So we're going to do things like enable the publishing feature. So we just saw the code sample for exactly this, how we go and check to see, hey, is it already installed? If so, I don't need to, but if it's not activated, then go ahead and activate that event. The next thing is this actually goes and provisions a search center as a subweb of wherever I'm installing this. So I'll actually create a subsite using the search center template. So that's what you can see here is I'm just first going and looking in all my subsites to make sure I don't already have one. And that if it's not there, then I'm going to go ahead and create a subsite. So you can see here's my web creation info. I'm specifying my template that I'm going to use, and then I'm going and actually creating that as a subsite. So far we've activated a feature, we've created a search center. Now we can add all those additional assets that are going to make a good user experience. So I can go and upload some display templates. Now, if you look in my project, I actually have my display templates inside of my remote web, and really they're just sitting there so I can read them. I can just read it as a file and upload it into SharePoint. So you can see here I have this display templates folder on the side with that one display template. And ultimately what I'm gonna do is just go through and upload that. So you can see I'm doing a file stream where I'm opening that display template and simply uploading it into the master page gallery, and more specifically, the exact folder that we want it in the master page gallery. The next thing that we're gonna do is go and work with some of the web parts that are there. So I'm going to go and get maybe one of the primary search pages in that search center, and I'm going to go using the limited web part manager, basically load all those web parts and make some modifications to those. So those are really some of the core functionality that we might do to customize that search center that we're creating here. And so once this is all done, we'll check in that page that we modified. We'll even give it a check-in and publish comment that we modified it by this search installer add-in, and we're done. Now, the one thing that this has, it also handles the scenario if we uninstall the add-in. So you can see here we're looking for app uninstalling, and if that occurs, we want to clean up after ourselves just so that we really leave no trace of this add-in ever being installed. Now, the one thing I'll point out here is if you want to execute one of these, this scenario, because it's using a remote event, if you want to debug that, if you're on premises, there's some things that you're going to need to do to make sure that your local machine is resolvable by your SharePoint farm that you're working with. So if you're working localhost, it's probably a little bit easier to do that. If you're working with SharePoint Online, which is what I do, you need SharePoint Online to be able to call your local machine. Now that can get a little bit confusing. You're working with localhost. How is SharePoint Online going to resolve localhost? Well, the way that we do that is through something that we call the Azure Service Bus. So this is something that the template here, this SharePoint add-in template, if we go to the SharePoint project and look at properties, one of the things that we'll find here under the SharePoint tab at the very, very bottom, so you gotta go all the way to the bottom, is there's a section to enable debugging of these remote events. So you can see enable debugging via Microsoft Azure Service Bus. And I basically just give this a connection string that allows me to do remote events. What this will do is by registering with the Service Bus, SharePoint will be able to resolve your service. It'll actually be able to call your service local. You could even debug it and do all of that in here. So anyway, this is the SharePoint search installer, and it's a really great sample to show how you can combine some of the declarative things like a search configuration with some of the programmatic things that you would need to do to customize the search center experience. All right, so we've looked at kind of using the add-in model to modify some of the existing search experience that's out there. So modifying the search center, adding all of the different search building blocks, maybe through a search configuration or through programmatic methods. Now let's look at creating new search experiences by creating search-based add-ins. So the core for us going and creating a search-based add-in is going to be the endpoints that we have available. And so search is exposed through a set of REST APIs and through the client-side object model. So here you can see an example of where I might go to some of the search endpoints. So all of the SharePoint endpoints are contextually located at wherever the site is, and then /_API. So I can do __API/web/web/list. In this case, I'm doing __API/search. So that's how I get to search, and then I can perform various queries. So you can see there's an example here of how I might specify my search query in a query text, how I might select very specific properties to come back. Remember, when we looked at all the attributes of managed properties, we specified whether or not we wanted to be able to pull that property back as part of the search results. So here you can see I'm pulling back title and rank in the second example here. And then finally, the third example is sorting. Again, that was an attribute of our managed property. In this case, the last modified time is a managed property that allows us to sort. And so we're going to sort our search results in descending order by that managed property. So this is an example of how I might use those REST endpoints client-side. So this is using JavaScript and more specifically jQuery to perform a request on one of those search endpoints. Now, most of the REST endpoints that you're going to use with search in an add-in, I guess most of those are going to be performing a GET. You're going to be performing queries most of the time. Now, you might try doing maybe some more advanced things, but in most cases, you're probably going to be performing GET. So in this case, I'm doing a GET, and then I'm specifying the header that I want JSON OData back. And then you can see I have a callback for both success and error. So the key here is this is a jQuery example of performing a REST query of a specific query text using a GET and getting JSON back. Here's how I could do the exact same thing client-side, but this time using the JavaScript client-side object model, sometimes referred to as JSON. So in this case, I'm using that JSON model to get a SharePoint client context. So using just sp-client-context.getcurrent. Then I'm creating a keyword query object in JavaScript. I'm setting its query text. So in this case, you can see I'm searching for the keyword SharePoint. And then I use a SharePoint search executor. So you can see that search executor class that I'm creating to execute my query based upon that keyword. So I'm sending that keyword query into the search executor and getting my results back. So very similar. In this case, I'm doing everything in strongly typed code versus processing it with jQuery. So that's the difference between using jQuery versus the JavaScript client-side object model. Now, there's also, I can do the same kind of functions in managed code. So if I was doing a provider-hosted app and I wanted to do this in, you know, maybe that provider-hosted app using something like .NET and C#, here's how I might go about doing this. So in this example, we're performing a REST-based search query in managed code. Now, there's a few really key things to point out here. First of all, instead of using a jQuery syntax, obviously I'm in C# here, and so one of the primary ways that I can perform REST queries is using an HTTP client. So mid-page, you can see where I'm creating an HTTP client. I'm telling it that I want to do a GET on with that client, and I'm specifying the URL. So just to point out a few things here, here is that query that I'm performing. Here's that HTTP client, and then you can see I'm performing that as a GET with that URL that I've specified right here. Now, a few really important things here is what I'm setting in my headers. So in this case, when I was in JavaScript, I was requesting my data to come back as JSON data. Here, I'm actually requesting XML back. And so most of the SharePoint REST APIs support both XML and REST. Now, XML tends to be maybe a little bit easier to work with in C Sharp. There are some great libraries like JSON.net, and there's things, XML serialization that I can use to work with various JSON data and get those into entities. In this case, I'm actually pulling things back as XML. But probably the most important of all of this is how I'm actually able to get a successful request when I'm calling this from a provider-hosted app. Remember, when I'm running this from a provider-hosted app, I'm not running it on SharePoint. I'm running it somewhere else. And in order to do that, I need to provide what we call an access token in my header. So the key, I think the really important of all of this is this line right here where I'm placing an access token as an authentication bearer token in the header of my request. And what's great is CSOM allows you to get this access token really easily. So at the very top, you can see where I got my SharePoint client context. And then I was said, go get the access token for the SharePoint app web. So ultimately, this is how I perform a REST query for search using C#. Now, just like we saw on client side, when I go server side, I'm going to have the choice of using REST or using all of the managed libraries. So this is an example of doing the exact same query, but using all managed code, not using REST. It's all strongly typed using the client side object model. So some of the key differences here is I'm using a keyword query class and again a search executor class to actually perform my search query. So this is almost identical to what we saw in the JavaScript client-side object model. This just happens to be the C# example of that. So I'm going to say use my search executor to execute the query, and then I can ultimately loop through my results. Now, one of the important things if I'm going to leverage search in a SharePoint add-in is that I need to give my add-in permission to actually perform a search. So that's one of the scoped searches or scoped permissions that I can give a SharePoint add-in. And specifically, you'll see this as the scope is SharePoint/search. The only permission that you can give this is query as user, ignore app principal. This is a pretty important point in its own right. When we're doing search, because there's so much that occurs to security trim what comes back to an end user, you can only perform a search in our add-in model as a user. You cannot do app-only search queries. I will say it again, you cannot do app-only search queries in a SharePoint add-in. You have to perform those as a user. So this is the only search permission you have. And just, it's important, I see that question come up frequently, is you really have to perform those search in the context of a user. This is what it looks like when one of those add-ins actually gets installed in a site. You can see that it's saying it wants the ability to execute search queries on behalf of the user, ignoring the app's permissions. So even if I have an app that has the ability to read the entire tenant and the user doesn't have access to the entire tenant, again, this will always bring back security trim search results. That's really one of the foundation principles of search, is that it will be security trimmed. So let's look at a demo of building a search-based add-in. All right, so in this final demo, we're going to again look at a search-based add-in to really extend the SharePoint experience. So we kind of looked at an add-in demo earlier when we were looking at how we use CSOM with search and then how we could even personalize the experience by looking at the user's profile when we do searches behind the scenes. Now, this is probably a little bit more of a real scenario of something that your organization might actually want. So this is a employee directory lookup. And so it's going to leverage the search APIs behind the scenes. And so you can go pull this down from the training content and check it out. So if I were to go ahead and open this project, you can see the link for it there. One other thing that's different about this, it's a provider-hosted add-in, but in this case, it's actually an MVC app. So the first one we looked at that was using CSOM, that was a web forms project. Here we're actually looking at MVC, so you can kind of see the two different patterns. A few things I'll point out. Again, because I'm calling search, it's very important that we give it the search permission, and you can see that we've done that here. We have the permission to search, query as user, ignore app principal, and don't even think about that little checkbox above that says app only, because again, we only support doing a query as a user and not as an app. So I'll go ahead and close this. The other thing is I'll just highlight a few things since this is MVC and it's a little bit different. If we go and look at our home controller, you could see what we're doing is that this is gets passed a letter, and then I'm going to go and search for all the employees based upon their last name starting with that letter. And you could see that query here. It's quite easy. We're doing a REST query, and we're saying query text is last name colon, and then the starting letter. So if the last name starts with A or B or C, that's the letter that's going to get passed in. And then we're also going to specify some select properties, which these are the managed properties we want back in our search results. And then finally, we're going to specify the source for this. So you can see this GUID here is hard-coded, and that's basically the people search source, result source, and it's always going to have that unique identifier, so it's okay to have that one hard-coded here. And then finally, we have sort by first name ascending. So we're basically doing all of that in our REST query. Two important things about this REST query. One is we're asking for XML back. And the reason for that is in C#, some people find that XML is a little bit easier to work with because we have libraries like linked to XML, although there's also a lot of libraries for JSON. So either one of those data types is good for getting your data back. The other important thing is because this is a provider-hosted app, we need to provide an access token in the header of all of our requests. So you could see here at the top where we're actually getting the SharePoint context. You can see that here. Then we're getting an access token for the user, right? That's the important part is we're not getting an app only. We're getting a user access token. And then we're setting that in the header. So we're just setting that as a bearer token. And then we're just parsing our results. The actual view for this, if I go to home index, you can see we have a bunch of action links that pass in the 26 letters of the English alphabet. And then we ultimately are just gonna loop through the results and output their first, last name, the work email, and the work phone, which are, again, those are all the properties that we're pulling back in our REST query. So let's go ahead and run this guy and take a look at how it looks. And again, this is a little bit more of a real scenario compared to the first add-in that we looked at. It was just, you know, how do I use CSOM to do search, or how do I use CSOM with search and user profiles? This is going to be a little bit more directly related to what organization might want. So I'll go ahead and sign in. So it's going to bring me into the authorization page, and you can see that it wants access to the site and to perform queries as the user. I'll go ahead and say trust it. And then it's going to ultimately just give me a table with a bunch of letters above the top. At this point, I can go query by different people that I know that or that I want to try to find. So I know I have someone named Ann Wallace, so we'll look at W. And there you can see Ann Wallace came back. And if I search for V, I think I have a few Vs. So there's Garrett Vargas and Israel Vegas. So you can see that I'm able to, you know, perform these queries using this MVC pattern and using CSOM and the SharePoint add-in model. So hopefully this shows you how you might kind of, again, take this, you know, search concept of extending. And this is a really common ask is, you know, providing a directory lookup like this. All right, just to kind of wrap everything up from a recommendation standpoint, we recommend that you use the out-of-the-box capabilities that can easily be extended to deliver new search experiences. You can use the various remote APIs to create new customizations by creating new add-ins or maybe modifying some of the search building blocks. One of those building blocks is the display templates, and those are very, very powerful. You can do some amazing things with display templates. And then finally, you can import and export those search settings using CSOM and SharePoint add-ins. So anything that the export doesn't include, we can typically use CSOM to augment that and programmatically deliver a full automated search experience. So at this point, if there are any questions, there's lots of great resources that you can I can point you to be able to get those questions answered. So there's lots of information we have. All of these samples came from the Office 365 Developer Patterns and Practices. So the primary way to find out more about the Office 365 Developer Patterns and Practices is at aka.ms/officedevpnp. And then we have a lot of other resources that are kind of underneath that. So one of those is we have a very popular Yammer network in the Office 365 network of Yammer. You can go out and it's a place where the leadership within patterns and practices, they spend a lot of time there to make sure questions are answered. So if you have questions out of this module, you could definitely go out there and get those answered. We also have some great information out on MSDN. So at aka.ms/officedevpnpmsdn, you can find some of the examples that have come out of PMP and matured into official MSDN guidance. We also have a number of videos and trainings around the patterns and practices, so definitely go and check those out. And then finally, around patterns and practices, you know, we always say the term sharing is caring. You know, this has been, patterns and practices is a community effort. It's a combination of people at Microsoft and community leaders that are providing these patterns and great sample code and training. And so if you find this helpful, get involved, be a contributor. So you can definitely do that. A few other things is you can find all of the patterns and practices information and training information and on dev.office.com. So we have a sign up where you can sign up for a free 1 year Office 365 developer tenant. We have lots of information to this type of training and others. So go out to dev.office.com. It's really your one-stop source for all things Office Dev. And then finally, you know, we're really big about collecting feedback and trying to continually improve. So, you know, we have things like that Office 365 network that you can go and share your best practices. User voice is a way if there's something that we're not doing inside of Search or SharePoint or Office 365 or Office in general, definitely go put your suggestions out there because, you know, as those get voted up, those are the things that our engineers are working on. And then finally, you know, we do have a location out on Stack Overflow, and a lot of our engineers spend a lot of time monitoring that and making sure that developers aren't at roadblocks in their development around Office 365, SharePoint, and Search. So thanks for joining.